Welcome to Myths, Monsters, and Legends. Today we're going to talk about the Fall of Troy. I'm your host, the Myth Maiden. With me today is Shift the Magnificent.
Hello.
Purple, the Princess of Hydration and Coordination.
Hi.
And our guest host today, Kitsune, who we'll refer to as Kit.
Hello.
And of course, as always, we have Never from Never Knows Best 1408 on Twitch.
Also known as Papa Panther. What's up, y'all?
All right. So today we're going to talk about the Fall of Troy. And with any good talking about the Fall of Troy, you have to start with how did it begin? So I don't know if you guys know how the Fall of Troy actually began, but it started with Eris, the goddess of strife and discord. She was at a wedding with Aphrodite, Hera, Athena, Zeus, you know, the whole gang. And she thought it would be funny to throw a golden apple in between Athena, Hera, and Aphrodite. And written on the apple were the words, "For the fairest," which of course did what? Started them with arguing, like goddesses do. And the first person they went to solve their argument was Zeus, who immediately pulled that guy situation where he was just like, nah, I'm not getting caught up like that. Go to my boy Paris.
Hey, at least Thundercock had the freaking knowledge to know, don't answer that question.
Yeah, he was wise to stay out of that one.
He was very wise to stay out of that one.
Don't get in the middle of a goddess fight.
Yes, that's exactly how it went for them. So, of course, they go to Paris. Now, each of the goddesses offered Paris something. Hera offered Paris that he would be the king of all the world. Underneath Zeus, of course. She told him that if he chose her, she was going to make him the king and give him all of the riches that she could. Athena was
so,
yeah?
Basically, she was going to make him Zeus's power bottom.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she was going to do.
Okay.
I mean, we all know that Zeus doesn't judge. Not like that.
No.
So
we also know that Zeus doesn't exactly share.
He doesn't. He has been known to be very vindictive when it comes to sharing his toys.
Yeah.
So then Athena's like, hey, she can give you gold. Sure. She can make you a king, but what kind of king can't protect his kingdom? I can make you the best warrior and you will be proficient in every weapon. So of course, pick me. I'm the better choice.
Of course, if you're king, you have the time to just sit down, practice, and get good, so...
Yeah, but you don't have the guarantee that you will be proficient. You just have the hope that you'll be proficient.
I mean, I guess unless you're me.
We can't all be gods, okay?
I'm telling
Why
you.
Why not?
Get good, bro.
So in that same vein, Aphrodite goes, you know what? I can do you one better. She can make you king. She can make you a good warrior. But I can give you the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Once again, if you're a king and you can kick everybody's ass, you can get pretty much what you want on that particular aspect too, usually.
I mean,
yeah, you're rich enough, you can kick enough ass. I mean, any woman will fall for that.
Yeah, man, look at Oliver Queen.
That is true.
He gets the nerdy goddess. I'm kind of jealous.
I am too, to be honest.
Yeah.
Am I wrong for preferring her in her goth state?
No, you're not wrong.
But no, I mean, of the three, I'd have to choose Athena just because it would guarantee proficiency in pretty much anything battle related.
I will say I agree. I agree, because if he had chosen Athena, what's to say he couldn't have gone out there and made his own kingdom?
Exactly. He could have been the world's greatest conqueror and still conquered the entire world and ruled it all, because he had the knowledge and know-how to do so.
Yeah.
Like, if you choose Athena, everything else will come to you in time.
Yes, it will.
So you're saying if I just go out and start stabbing people, eventually I'll have riches and bitches?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
If you stab the right person, yeah.
Yeah. This is true.
Tell me who the right person is. I'm ripe for a stabbing.
For legal reasons, I think in this instance, I have to start speaking in the hypothetical.
So, well, this just took an interesting legal turn, and I'm just going to play the fifth over here on everything.
So, of course, Paris chose Aphrodite's gifts. The only problem was
he was not thinking with the right head.
He wasn't thinking with the right head, okay? Put that out there. So, he chooses Aphrodite's gift. Aphrodite forgot to mention one small little fact. This most beautiful woman lived in Sparta. Not only did she live there, she was the queen of Sparta. She was married to King Menelaus. Yeah, so you can imagine how that worked out.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a hint, except she's spoken for, and the guy she's married to loves to kill things.
Yeah, and yes. Is really good at it, by the way.
Yes. And you turned down the art of being able to kick everyone's ass, so...
This is why I say you should have chosen Athena. Like, he should have chosen Athena.
He should have, well, but he didn't.
Okay, I'm going to go off topic for just a second on this one and say maybe he was taking some of Athena's past sins into play.
It's entirely possible. She hasn't always been the most trustworthy.
That is true.
In that instance, look at Hera.
I was going to say, what goddess has been trustworthy?
She's always got a reason for it.
True.
Yeah, but some of her reasons are real petty.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
what was it? Two episodes ago, we were bashing her about what she did to Medusa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Athena.
I didn't say she had good reasons. I said she had reasons.
Yes. So, of course, Aphrodite magics Helen to Paris in Troy, where they get married. Remember, she's still married to King Menelaus, but he doesn't know that.
Was she willing in all this?
She was willing. If Aphrodite tells you you're going to love that guy, are you really going to argue?
Nope.
No.
I mean, I might.
We would. As a collective group, knowing what's going to go down, we would be like, no, can I tap out? Can I sign a lease that says I do not agree? Can I plead the fifth? Can I not do this?
Can I have an adult?
I need an adult now.
I feel like if Paris wanted to be a simp, he should have just subscribed to her OnlyFans.
So, of course, Athena shows up and, sorry, Aphrodite shows up and hands him this beautiful woman who is one of Aphrodite's daughters. Cool. He's got a really gorgeous girl. What he doesn't know is back in Sparta, King Menelaus is crying to his big brother, King Agamemnon, about the fact that his wife is now missing. And who's vengeful enough to tell both the kings exactly where the queen is?
And if Menelaus wants to kill shit, Agamemnon lived for that.
Yes. Yeah.
Agamemnon was known for going to war for anything with anyone.
Hang on a second. There's meal on the sandwich. I'm going to wreck your entire country.
Pretty much.
You sneezed in my air. You're dead.
Pretty much.
I ordered olive oil. Was that racist?
Yeah.
So, of course, Agamemnon, upon hearing from Athena and Hera that the queen has been absconded to Troy, starts calling all the homies. What else was he gonna do? He's like, we gotta go to war. We fought over this chick for like 2 years trying to get her to pick one of us. She picked you. We all agreed we'd go to war for you if she just got stolen, so we're going to war. And so the Trojan War begins. Now,
if I can't have her and my brother can't have her, then no one can have her.
Pretty much. That's kind of how their whole pact was made. So she got to choose anyone out of all of the Greek heroes that she would marry. And she chose King Menelaus. So, of course,
I feel like
she was set up in one of the worst ways, because all Aphrodite needed to do was just poke her and tell her that she loves him now, and now she's in a committed relationship with somebody.
And make Menelaus fall in love with someone else.
That would have been the smarter thing to do, but I don't think she thought that far into the plan.
Or she did, and she was just waiting to see, you know, how it played out. You're gonna think with your dick, these are the consequences.
That is true.
That is Aphrodite.
Yeah, but I've never fought with my dick so hard that three countries stopped being.
That is true as well.
Trying hard enough.
I haven't attempted, but now I have a goal.
All right, so we've given both Nev and Shift a goal in life.
I'd rather start a war by jumping up and doing a 540 kick slap to someone's face.
I could see him doing that. So war begins. War begins, and they decide that they're going to get everybody who's everybody. They're going to Odysseus and telling him he need to come on because he was a part of this pact. They go to Achilles and his cousin
Patroclus,
yes. Agamemnon's there. Menelaus is there. They've got Ajax the Great, Ajax the Minor, Diomedes, and so many other Greek warriors who are known for fighting. They couldn't get Hercules because he was off doing some other stuff.
Hera had him running trials at that point.
Yes. They did try to get him.
Okay. There's the crumple.
It's the crumple.
Hey, Crumples joined us.
Hello, hello.
So, Crumples, so far we've talked, and he's gone again. And he's back.
There he is. And he's back.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. Yay!
Are you here this time, or are you going to dip out again?
I was just trying to figure out my phone.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so all of these heroes are coming. They make it to Troy. The Trojan War lasted 10 years, guys. That's 10 years of not seeing a female that you knew unless you brought a concubine. That's 10 years without going home. That's 10 years of seeing your friends, your people you were close to, dying in this war.
I honestly have to wonder if Agamemnon didn't hope for his brother's death so that he could end up with her.
That wouldn't have surprised me. During the war, there is a specific part that's deeply talked about. So the king's daughter is a priest, is one of the priestesses for Apollo's temple. Well, they kind of get a little foothold around the temple, and King Agamemnon kidnaps her. And he does the word that rhymes with grape, but we don't like it. And he holds her hostage for 2 years. And she's forced to endure this for this whole time. And her dad is like trying to get her back. Finally, Apollo is pissed because, of course, out of all the gods, that's the one you really don't want to piss off. He's pissed, so he sends his high priestess and his high priest to go tell Agamemnon to give her back or else. And of course, he's like, nah, I'm not giving her back. Apollo gets so mad that he strikes the Greek army down with a plague. So they're dying left and right now. What started out as like millions of men have dwindled down to hundreds of thousands of men in a matter of days.
Smart. Smart. Piss off a god while you're at war and get your armies decimated.
Right. That would be like pissing off Ares and then telling him that, you know, I need help in this. It's not going your way, sweetie.
No.
Well, the biggest thing is if they had chosen the right temple maiden, maybe that wouldn't have happened. But you chose Apollos. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
They're lucky it was just a plague.
Yes. So, of course, Agamemnon sends her back because now he knows that Apollo is a part of this. Like, these guys were healthy and walking around, and all of a sudden they started dropping like flies. So he sends her back. Apollo rescinds the plague. He gets so mad that he goes to Achilles' camp, which Achilles was out there killing everybody. He goes to Achilles' camp and he takes Achilles' favorite concubine and takes her to his tent and tells Achilles, she's now mine. You don't want to piss off the guy that's killing everybody for you either. Achilles goes in his tent and what does he do? He starts that pouty face stuff. You know, the, you've got my girlfriend and I'm mad. That stuff. So he's sitting in his tent for months, not fighting. Meanwhile, the Greek army is kind of getting beat up. And the part of the army he's supposed to be handling, they're not doing anything. They're just standing there watching everybody else die, get beat up. Some of them kill people. So his cousin comes to him and he's like, hey, Achilles, I know you're mad. How about I use your armor and get your men to go help me fight these guys? And then I'll bring you your armor and your sword and your spear back. Achilles agrees to it, and his cousin goes out there and starts pretending to be Achilles. He's killing people left and right. He's doing everything Achilles was doing, and he's mortal.
Right up until the point where he dies.
Yes, he was like way more badass than Achilles was, until Hector kills him, decapitates his body, and drags him behind a horse.
Thorough.
Very thorough. Ajax the Great kills the horse and gets Patroclus. I suck at this. Yes, that one.
Remember Patroclus?
Patroclus.
Patroclus.
So he goes and gets his body and takes it back to Achilles. Now, mind you, he doesn't have a head. But Achilles is so devastated that he demands that they do a month-long ceasefire so that he can honor his dead cousin, which the Trojans agree to, like stupid heads. But they agree to this, and they let him have his time of mourning. Achilles is now incensed. The Trojans killed my cousin, and I'm going to kill as many of them as I can. And he goes back out there, and he's killing people left and right. He happens upon Hector, who is in the middle of killing somebody, and he kills him. And then he desecrates his body, similar to how he did his cousin's. So much so.
He drug him for like, what, 11 days?
He drug him straight. For 11 days. He cut parts of his body off and sent it to the king. He was maniacally desecrating this man's body. It's war. I know it gets nasty. It gets ugly. But even the men on his side felt bad for this guy's death. So,
oh, and don't forget about the, like, 12, 13 Trojans that their throats were immediately slit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To pay tribute.
Yeah. So, finally, the king of Troy comes to Achilles on his hands and knees, and he begs, please, let me just bury my son. This was my oldest son. Please, just let me bury him. And of course, Achilles, being soft-hearted after all of his anger has been let out, he agrees to meet him and give him back the body. He meets up with the king, returns the body, he and Ajax the Great. Paris, who is incensed about how badly his brother's body has been defaced, shoots an arrow and calls to Apollo. Now, Apollo's on their side because the Greeks have been doing some skeevy crap, okay?
Yeah. Agamemnon done and went and screwed that pooch.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was just on top of the whole factor of, I know what you fucking did. I know what you did.
Yep.
There's also the desecration of Apollo's temple.
Yep.
Yes. So Apollo, hearing Paris' cry, guides the arrow to Achilles' ankle, killing him. Because remember, Achilles' ankles are the only thing that weren't dipped in the River of Styx.
My point of contention is this. I realize that his ankle wasn't dipped in the water of immortality. And so I realized that means that was technically a weak point for him. But shouldn't that have just made it really hard for him to walk? Like, I don't know anybody who's died from being shot in the ankle.
Well, that was the deal, that he would trade his, basically his whole life would be bound to that one spot.
Well, I mean, it's not like a deal was made. He was just dipped in immortality serum, and that was the one part that someone was holding him by.
Achilles was dipped in the River of Styx, and the River of Styx...
That's the River of Death.
Yeah, so...
That's not of immortality. It was the only point to life that kept him here.
Yeah.
The rest of him crossed over, so the rest of him was already dead. That was the only point of life that was still left in him.
My understanding of it was that point was an automatic fatal point, no matter what.
Yeah, that's how it was.
And I get that. It's just still, it's like someone got shot in the butt and then the infection killed them.
I mean...
Hey, that happened.
I mean, that,
you're
that's
close
kind
to
of
a lot of internal organs. The infection spreads fast to those and you're done.
Yeah, especially if like it hits like the hip bone and causes damage there as well.
So yeah,
I'm just saying, like, not even in battle, but I've hurt that part of my foot more times than I can count, and I never died.
That's because you weren't dipped in the River Styx.
You don't know my life.
I mean, I know enough that your Achilles heel doesn't kill you like it did him, so you couldn't have been dipped in the River Styx there, so.
That's because my Achilles heel is my brainstem.
My brainstem, my only weakness.
I was dipped in the River Styx like someone scruffing a cat.
See, all I can see is Omni-Man grabbing dude by the spine right now.
Yep, pretty much.
Hey man, I got you back.
Oh, so Achilles went down. That takes out that major warframe on the Greek side.
Yes, so that does. So Achilles dies. Okay. And then Odysseus, seeing that with Achilles gone, that their men are just, they're crestfallen. Their greatest hero is gone. The one guy that was actually killing more people than was getting killed on their side, he's gone now. So Odysseus was like, okay, let me sit down and think. And this is where the myth differs, because in some myths, Athena comes to him and gives him the idea of the Trojan horse. And in some myths, he's just sitting on the beach and he figures it out on his own.
He's a crafty motherfucker.
Yeah, true.
So he gathers up all the army's heads, the generals and all those guys, and all the heroes that are still alive. And he goes, hey, look, if we don't end this soon, end this now, we won't be going home to our families, to our kingdoms. So we need to finish this now. So, of course, he comes up with the idea of everybody building a giant horse. First off, I don't know about y'all, but if I was building a giant horse in my backyard, my neighbors would see me.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's how it would work.
That's something that never addresses, like, where exactly were they building that? How could they not see that?
That's what I'm like. If the army in China started building a horse in front of the U.S. consulate, they would see that.
They're like, mm-mm.
There would be questions. Maybe this,
if you're building a giant horse, at least you're not building like giant siege engines and catapults and shit.
True. So they built this.
At the same time, if the land's not perfectly flat, and there are areas that they can actually hide behind, then it would make sense to, you know, just one ridge over, have some people go over there and build the Trojan horse and drag it out later on.
Yeah, that would be. But a lot of time when you hear about the Trojan War, you think about the beach that they're fighting on, because they are still fighting on the beach. They're able to go back to their ships. So they're having to go around Troy, cut down trees to build this horse.
And that, saying that, it's like that would be being on the beach, they would be at a lower point, so they would definitely have to be seen.
Just yes.
From a vantage point standpoint.
The Temple of Apollo is on the beach. So that is how they get, that's how they desecrate Apollo's temple. It's not in the actual city.
Well, also you have to think about, if they're taking away the trees, they're taking away their cover.
Right.
And I know Troy had towers, man.
Of course.
I thought that they took out, would reuse some of the boats that they weren't needing because of the plague itself. Like, they would have extra boats.
While they would have extra boats, I don't think they had that much wood.
Well, I mean, there's the extra boats from people dying from the plague, and then, you know, all the boats that aren't needed to bring people back who just died in war, because, you know, hundreds, maybe thousands of dudes died on the Greek side in that war.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know they used some of the ships.
They used some of the ships.
Maybe they needed
a really big blanket that they could hide it behind. I don't know.
There's nothing behind the curtain!
No peeking.
They sewed all the sails together. That's what they did.
I can honestly say I could see them doing that. I can actually see them talk about, damn it, I just poked my finger with this god darn needle.
Darn.
So, of course, they build this giant horse. And they convince Sinan to stay behind. And when I say convince, he was not for it. He was like, look, y'all gonna leave me on this beach by myself with a giant horse and tell me to tell these bastards that y'all are leaving this as a gift? They're not gonna believe that bullshit. We all gonna die. I'm gonna die. They gonna set that on fire. No, I don't want to be here. They convince him to do it. Finally, he is forced to stay there by himself with a little rowboat and a ship off to the distance that he'll be rowing to. He tells them, hey, we're leaving this horse behind because it's a gift for y'all to pay tribute to Poseidon and to say we're sorry, and we're going to go home without the chick that we came here for. And the Trojans believed it. Not all of them. The high priestess and the high priest were like, don't bring it in here. Don't do it. I feel like this is something Apollo is telling us not to do this. But they bring it in anyway.
What?
Yeah, man, I'm kind of feeling that. It's like, if I'm beating someone's ass and I know that they can't win, and then suddenly they're like, yo, man, here, you got this. I'm just gonna leave this 50 grand here for you and walk away slowly. I'm sitting there wondering how much anthrax he got together in a short period of time in case he lost.
Exactly. And, you know, what else, you know, what other bio agent is laced with it? As soon as I touch it, it's going to kill me.
Thank you. That is exactly how we would think of this situation. That's how any sane person would think of this situation. But the Trojans, I guess they were tired of being at war, and they were tired of seeing their husbands and their sons and their kids die. So they were like, sure, let's bring it in.
Well, I mean, cool. No, I would have been like, yeah, no, I'm sick of war. You go ahead and hop on your rowboat and get the fuck out of here. And as soon as he left, I would burn that shit to the ground.
Well, not only that, you have to wonder if they held their high priest and priestesses' words so highly in regard, why didn't they listen to them?
Why didn't they listen to the one God who actively assisted them?
Exactly. If that God
because we are
you, don't do it. Don't do it.
Because true. As the gods would say, they are man, and man has its own will.
True, but also, why wouldn't Apollo have just been like, guys, there's dudes in there. There's dudes with swords. Don't be a fucking dumbass.
Because gods still have to know that you have faith in them and will listen to their messengers and are worthy of their messages.
But half the time, Greek gods definitely say, without a shadow of a doubt, like, hey, don't do that because reason A and reason B.
Okay, so according to the lore that I'm reading as we're going along with this, one of the high priests, Cassandra, she had been given the gift of prophecy by Apollo, but at the same time, she was also cursed by Apollo to never be believed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her whole bit. That's a whole other... That, I mean, like, it's the same story, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, but that's the thing, is she was one of them saying, hey, don't keep this thing, and so automatically everyone would just do the opposite of whatever the hell she said.
Yeah, man, that whole God shit kind of concerns me, because, like, if there's this person who's constantly telling people shit and nobody believes them, but then they're constantly proven right, eventually I'm going to be like, okay, you said don't eat this sandwich? I'm not going to eat the sandwich. I love sandwiches.
What? Don't get me wrong.
But this one can... I'll just let this one slide.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I would have been like, you told me I was going to have a baby, like, 3 times successfully. You knew my best friend was going to die in that horrific car accident.
Giving somebody the gift of prophecy. Yeah, giving somebody the gift of prophecy and then telling them that nobody will ever believe them and making it so, to me, is right up there with the Judeo-Christian God. Making a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and then being like, look, all these other fruits here, you can eat them, but not this one. It's like, okay, if you're God... And you made a tree that has the knowledge of good and evil, then I know that all of these other trees, some of them at least, have the knowledge of some other shit. You just don't want me to have this one knowledge. You already know I'm going to eat this fucking tree, dude. I'm going to eat the whole damn tree. I'm making pies for days.
If he didn't want them to eat it, he would have put it on the other end of the planet.
I mean, right? You're not wrong.
He wouldn't have put it in the garden.
Just how can you give a creature free will and then tell them not to eat from one single tree? Of course, being humans, you're going to be inquisitive. You're going to wonder. It's going to take the slightest thing for you to want to actually take action on it instead of just thinking.
Right.
Because what wouldn't you want to, you know, compile knowledge? And like Navir just said, why wouldn't he want you to have that?
Because then you'll know the bullshit.
Then you know how bullshit the situation really is.
I mean, that's cool and all. It's just, I value, you know, informed consent about decisions over innocence. Like, if someone does something bad and they don't know that it's bad, I feel like I have to let them know that it's bad. But I'm still going to punish their ass. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather everyone already know what's good and what's bad. The entire point being, I honestly believe that free will doesn't matter without informed consent.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, of course, the Trojans take this wooden horse into their home, and they start partying like they have never partied before. Even Dionysus was standing there looking down at them like, I would never in my life.
But when in Greece, do like the Grecians do.
Get all oiled up.
All oiled up and naked.
To eat or to fuck? Maybe both.
So, of course, they... Of course, they're like, okay, cool. We are going to party and we are going to do everything we've ever wanted since this war started that we haven't been able to do. And they do. And then they all fall asleep I don't know about y'all, but I would not fall asleep with a giant freaking horse in my city without knowing what was... It's a gift for... It's a tribute to Poseidon. Burn that motherfucker. Drown it. Something. But no, they fall asleep with this horse, giant horse, in the middle of their city.
Kudos to them. They are SMRT.
I mean, I feel like it would have fucked up the feng shui of the entire city, too. Like, where do you even put a giant wooden horse?
Yeah.
In the trash. That's where you put it.
Yeah, who isn't going to stand there and gawk at that and go, you know what? It's kind of cold out tonight, and I'm poor. There's a lot of wood right there. I'm going for it.
Or even the fact that it was hollow. It's like, okay, this is not a solid wood that would... Nobody just sat there and carved it. They, you know, haphazardly put it together. It's like, okay, what is inside? It might be bunnies, or it might be my, you know, my demise.
Soldiers, target practice. Go.
Which is pretty much what happens. So, as soon as all the Trojans are asleep, the Greeks sneak out of this horse and they begin slaughtering everybody. Ships are coming back. They are killing everybody in town. And then they get to be obscene. They rape the queen and they force her to watch as they kill her children and her grandchildren. Hector's youngest son, who's 5 at the time, is thrown from the parapets to his death, and he can be heard screaming for help. They murder people in such horrific ways that even the gods turn their backs to not watch this. The queen is forced to watch all of this. And as they kill her oldest daughter and her husband before her, she goes insane. And they end up watching her as she throws herself off the top of the tower. And it's so graphic for her that, and so real for her that she can't deal with it. And of course...
I mean, I don't think I would be either.
I don't know anybody who would be able to watch their whole family just murdered in front of them after being brutalized. And it's so hard for the story, it's so hard for the gods to even see this, that they turn their backs on the Greeks as they listen to this slaughter. Because it's not done as a war anymore. They've just infiltrated the city and slaughtered everybody. All of Troy is now gone. What they could not steal or kill, they have burned.
Total murder, decimation.
Murder, pillage, arson.
That's kind of how it was.
Whee!
So... After all of this, the Greeks stand on the beach. And I don't know if any of you have heard the story of Odysseus, but there is the beginning of Odysseus's trials of getting home. He stands on the beach and he shouts out to the gods that he was smarter than all of them and that he was the one that ended the Trojan War, which angers Poseidon. And
I feel like this is the point where we should say pride cometh before the fall.
It does. And in telling this, like, when I first read this, I was 16 years old. And I read the most graphic version of this. And I cried because they went into detail on what these guys did to the royal family. Not only killing children, but they went in, like... I won't say it on podcast, but I know you guys can just imagine how disgusting this slaughter was. Because they went to the extremes. And at the end, for Odysseus to boast that he stopped the war, that didn't just piss off Poseidon, it pissed off all the other gods except for Athena and Hera. Like, the other gods were so worried that these men would continue fighting together, that those that made it home in worse ways or not at all. A lot of the men that went and fought in this war died on the way home because one god or another took offense to the way that they handled the end of the war.
I feel like Athena and Hera were just sitting back, you know, sipping Mai Tais or something, watching this carnage pull out and be like, haha, we played them, didn't we? Haha.
That's kind of how I feel like they did it. Hera ends up helping Menelaus get Helen back. Helen, for 10 years, had been married to Paris. She gave birth to 3 children who they secreted off the island. Paris's death was way worse than it should have been. I understand he kind of stole somebody's wife, but that was Aphrodite's fault, in a way.
That wasn't even hell.
So, at the end of this war, everybody is just, like, heading home. And it was just so horrifying that a lot of them, the ones that made it home, ended up killing themselves because they couldn't handle what they had done, the type of monsters they had changed into. War changes people. And not just war in the past, but present war. And
yeah, war in general. Timeless.
It's horrible for the people who are involved on both sides. There's good, there's bad, and then there's terrible. The Trojan War is one of the myths that, while graphic and horrible, showed the extent of what the Greeks were willing to go to for their things. It also showed how petty the gods and goddesses could actually be.
How petty? All the petty.
All of all the petty. We here
they take petty to a whole new level.
They do. We here at Myths, Monsters, and Legends don't actively participate in war. And to the men and women who have to fight the wars that are currently going on, we commend them because we know we couldn't do it. There's just a whole nother level of killing that happens in war.
Yep.
We hope that you understand that this myth, while hard, should not be listened to by children. And we enjoyed talking about this. Next week, we are going to talk about some Celtic monsters. The Dullahan. We're going to talk about the Dullahan. We're going to discuss the Banshee, the Cait Sith, and maybe a surprise Celtic being that not very many people know about. Thank you for joining us today, and as always, have a great and mythical day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.